Hello, everyone, and welcome to Around the Corner, your official minor league prospect podcast for Covering the Corner, talking all things Cleveland Guardians prospects. I am your co-host, Brian Heminger, joined today by my fellow co-host, Matt Schlichting. Matt, how you doing as we prepare for opening day?
It's opening day. Like, I saw a dude at the park in a Red Sox hat, and I'd usually scowl at a guy like that. How dare he wear that hat? And I said, hey, happy opening day, man. And he said, you too. It's unstoppable good vibes.
Oh, man. I've been getting, like, tremors almost. I'm so excited.
It's, for me, always the official end of winter. I know spring did its thing already. Days are getting longer, but baseball.
I had a four-hour fantasy baseball draft in my keeper league last night.
Heck yeah.
Proud to say I am the owner of Josh Bell.
Excuse me. So. Heck yes.
So, anyways, since it minor league season hasn't really started yet, and there hasn't been a ton of news related to that, we're not going to do any, you know, huge, crazy updates. This is going to be primarily an answering questions session. We're first going to do just a very quick update on the top 10 on just, you know, where each of these guys are going to be starting their season, and then we'll roll right into our questions.
Yeah, don't call it a mailbag.
Yeah, this is a good old mailbag episode. So first things first, Daniel Espino. No real update news-wise. As far as I've seen, you know, they have him, you know, shut down, waiting on to see if that little tear in his shoulder is going to heal itself, and praying for a miracle. Depending on who you're listening to on prospect Twitter, you know, his prospect status has completely been destroyed, or he'll be fine and be pitching in a month.
So if I'm remembering correctly, it was a back muscle. Was it his teres major?
It's a weird, like, back shoulder. And it was two things. Like, it was like a scapula thing. It was an injury that Luis Urias had a couple years ago. And now he's, you know, my pick to win the NL Cy Young. So I'm just hoping that that's what happens here. Although I think Urias did end up missing a season in his minor leagues. So I'm hoping that does not happen, but that Espino does bounce back and win a Cy Young for us.
I wonder, I might be thinking Terrace Major because that's what just happened to Verlander. Or maybe it was Terrace Minor.
Like, McKenzie has a back shoulder muscle thing that just got announced, so.
I don't like that I'm getting our pitcher's injuries mixed up. Come on.
Well, yeah, we've got a couple. I mean, with a Henches having his issue and Cody Morris having his, so. You know, it piles up, but that's why we've got really good pitching depth, and Cleveland's known as a pitching factory, you know, the next man up, so.
And with Espino. He's still young. There's time. All the talent in the world.
And just hoping we get to see him this year. We'll see what happens.
So any happenings with Sir Gavin Williams?
Just that, as far as I know, he's going to start his season at AA because the AAA season starts tomorrow with a two-game series for the Clippers at Iowa. If he was part of that starting rotation, we would have heard it by now. I mean, he is a former number one pick. He is our number two overall prospect. He is not, as far as I've heard, part of the Columbus rotation. So he will absolutely be part of the Akron rotation since that's where he ended last season. He's got a little bit to prove, and then he'll probably be in Columbus in no time as long as he pitches well. Kind of think of it like the Logan Allen situation last year, where Logan Allen ended the 2021 season in AA. He dominated to begin last season at AA and got quickly promoted to AAA. I'm just hoping that his transition to AAA goes better than Logan Allen's did.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a difficult time for Allen. Yeah,
I'm hoping Cleveland season. Just in general saw what happened last year where whatever it was with the baseballs or something, where several of the players that jumped from AA to AAA struggled, and they've got the solution this time. Cleveland is known for their adaptability, so I think that they'll be okay.
I like it. How about our friend George Valera at number 3 on the countdown?
Yeah, he's going to start the year at AAA. He got sent down during spring training, and as you remember, he did have off-season hamate bone surgery, and then he injured his wrist a little bit swinging a bat during spring training, and then they just kind of shut him down and sent him down to AAA. So as far as I know, though, he's should be good to go to start the season. He's not going to start the year on the injured list or anything. So just going to let him take his hacks, and when he's ready, he's going to get called up. It's just a matter of time. He is going to play in Cleveland this year as long as he stays healthy. I'm calling that right now.
Then let's hope he stays healthy. I'm excited to catch some games early in the year here in Columbus. Watch him hit some dongs. May obnoxiously stand.
I will let you know if and when I'm in the area to watch a game as well.
It'll be a blast.
There we go.
What about Mr. Tanner Bibee, number 4?
This is where it gets exciting. As many of you may know, Tanner Bibee is my number 1 pick for Cleveland's top prospect. And it was just announced today that he is going to start the year in Columbus's rotation. Now, I don't know if this has anything to do with, you know, Hunter Gaddis sliding in to Cleveland's rotation and Xavion Curry getting called up to Columbus or to Cleveland to take Bibee's spot in the bullpen, so which would open up a spot in the Columbus rotation. And then they just went, hey, you know what? Let's just start Bibee at AAA. Or if that was the plan all along, there's no way Bibee's going back down to AA. Like, he is here for good. So he is starting the year at AAA. He is boom, 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 knocking on that door to Major League Baseball. Even with all those talented prospects ahead of him with, you know, Pilkington and Gaddis and Curry and Logan Allen. And he's just like, get out of my way. I'm going to Cleveland, baby. I'm coming.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
I heard
you are not stopping the Bibee trade. So he started a AAA already after being drafted a year and a half ago. So I am in love.
It's interesting how quickly some starting pitchers are moving through the system now. I wonder to what extent players like a Shane Bieber.
He's moving faster than Bieber did.
Yeah.
Bieber started his second pro season, or actually Bieber pitched briefly after he got the season he got drafted. Then he, you know, flew through the system in his first pro season, and his second pro season, he started at AA and then made it to the majors. Bibee did not pitch the year he got drafted, just started last year at high A and then went high A, double A, and now he's at triple A. Like, he is coming.
He is not wasting time, yes.
No, yeah, he is a freight train.
What can you tell us about number 5, Brian Rocchio?
Rocchio at AAA as well, knocking on that door. Now he's got, you know, some competition. Obviously, we've got Gabriel Arias, who was the winner of the utility man competition in Cleveland, and then Tyler Freeman, who lost his prospect status last year because he spent so many games up in Cleveland. Even though he didn't get a ton of at-bats, but he is no longer considered a rookie. But he is going to start the year at AAA as well. And you've got Jose Tena at AAA. So there's 3 really talented middle infielders duking it out in Columbus right now that are basically playing second shortstop and third base. So, hey, may the best man win. Rocchio is going to be duking it out just with everybody else. And, you know, a lot of us think that he is the best of those shortstop prospects, and we'll see if he can prove it. There's only one more spot left that's not locked up now in that middle infield because you got Jose Ramirez locked up for another like 4 or 5 years. You've got Andrés Giménez now locked up for 7 years. So there's only one more spot for all of these prospects to play.
It's interesting. It seems like with the extension, for what it just feels more likely to me that Giménez will end up staying at second base. Won't go too far off the trail here since that's not prospect related directly, but I think it they might end up moving him to short. Who knows? Maybe Rosario will get extended. Who knows?
Yep. It could happen.
We can't read the future. Yeah.
I know that at least it was discussed with Rosario about an extension. It just depends if, you know, are they going to go above and beyond to make Jose Ramirez happy because Jose wants them to extend Rosario? Or are they going to offer Rosario more what he's worth, which is not as much as Jimenez? So,
can I speculate wildly?
Go ahead.
The way the news came out was interesting to me because it sounded like Rosario was asked by a reporter if the team had reached out in regards to an extension, which is a very easy question to plant if you're the front office.
Yeah. And then Rosario's posted all those freaking emojis. And
I just find it interesting that what we ended up learning is that, yes, the team did reach out, but it looks like, you know, they're not quite together on numbers or anything yet.
Moving on, we've got Bo Naylor.
He's going to start a AAA.
Yeah, another AAA. Again, knocking on that door. Cleveland has three catchers right now at the major league level, but it sounds like they're doing that because they want to give some pinch hit opportunities to Arias and Oscar Gonzalez and Will Brennan, like whoever's the fourth outfielder of the day and our other backup infielder of the day. So Bo just is going to get his chance to play every day in AAA. And when he's ready, it sounds like they must not trust Zunino enough if they're having three catchers there to ensure that they have a backup for all the times that they're planning to pinch hit for him. So if when Bo's ready, he's going to be storming into Cleveland to take that job.
It's fascinating to me how terrified teams are of a catcher getting hurt. And then the other catcher getting hurt during a game. How many times has it actually happened?
It does not happen very often. There's always that guy that's like the backup, you know, that maybe caught in like high school.
Sure.
Like in Cleveland for years, it was like Ernie Clement, I think.
Of course it was.
But I don't know who it would be now.
So I have a fun fact regarding the catching situation. And I did post this in the Covering the Corner Discord earlier this week. So if you're cool,
I really you've already need seen to this. Be reading that more often.
The last time the Cleveland Guardians broke camp and started the regular season with no catchers who were on their roster the previous year, 1978.
Wow.
Fred Kendall and Ray Fossey caught in 1977, and they were the only catchers on the roster the whole year. Then in 1978, Gary Alexander, Ron Pruitt, Bo Diaz, and Ron Hassey all had games at catcher. So there was no crossover. And we're going to have that again this year. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is. Last year we had Luke Maley and Austin Hedges, and both of their contracts did not get extended, and they were not considered part of the future, so it makes sense.
I'm 98% sure that trivia is correct, so if it does turn out I'm wrong, let me know. I'm pretty sure. We've got some big news about the next guy on the countdown.
Will Brennan, he's starting tonight. It appears that he's going to be in a platoon situation with Oscar Gonzalez because Stephen Kwan, of course, is going to be playing every day. And I'm assuming Miles Straw will be playing most every day. Straw did have a good spring and showcased some power. Unless it's Major League 2 Willie Mays Hayes level power where he's cranking the home runs off the guy's bagging groceries in a couple weeks. But then he comes to time to start the season, and every single time it gets caught at the wall by whatever that guy's name was, Elmani. Belmonte, if you remember. So we'll see what happens today. But I was liking what I was seeing out of higher exit velocity Miles Straw during spring training.
And I think the most exciting thing to me for Will Brennan getting this start, guys, being in the corner cupboard's a big deal. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Look at where this guy is now.
He went from the corner cupboard to opening day starting lineup.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
That is wild.
It's a coincidence. But in any case, we some good picks all around last year. It was very fun.
Yes, sir.
Now, number 8, Angel Martinez.
As far as I know, he'll be starting the year at Double A. That's only because there's so many guys at Triple A. If he's going to be getting regular starts, he should be at Double A. He's a year behind, you know, Brian Rocchio in terms of getting drafted internationally, a year behind Jose Tena. So it makes sense. And that's where he ended the year last year anyway, was at Double A. But he played really well at Double A. He played just as well at Double A as he did at High A. Like, his strikeout rate and walk rates like barely changed. So like, this is a guy that has really, really good ability to see things at the plate. He did not get intimidated moving up a level. So, you know, again, he is knocking on that door. So we're going to have to make some moves at some point, because I don't think he's going to stay at Double A for a very long time.
I don't either. The bat's, I think, great. I'm being hypercritical when I say there's one play I remember that I saw in person where I felt like he didn't charge hard enough, but that's ludicrous, especially because I just said it out loud. I'm sorry. he's a great defender.
The one thing he put on a lot of muscle in the offseason. So he was coming in bigger, stronger, more power with his bat.
Oh, he did the fitness guru OTP storyline. I like it.
We'll see how that plays off this season in terms of, you know, is it going to force him to, you know, third base or second base instead of shortstop too? So
I'm now very excited because we're at number 9 on the countdown, and that means we get to discuss the days and works of Logan Allen.
Yeah, Logan Allen will be starting the season at AAA Columbus in their rotation. And again, he is knocking on that door for an opportunity in Cleveland. We've already got one door opened with Tristan McKenzie starting the year on the injured list. So that allowed Hunter Gaddis to hop into the rotation early on. And you'd got to think that Logan Allen's going to be one of the next guys with his name called. Keep it up, Logan Allen. From what I heard, he added a little bit of velocity in the offseason as he was thrown harder in spring. So I'm excited to see how he performs in this repeat stint at AAA after he struggled there after the promotion last year.
Something about the baseballs being different feels like a cover story. I think he was working on stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll find out. That's what I'm excited to learn and see. So,
final update. Number 10, Chase DeLauder. Louder.
Yeah. Louder is injured. Had that toe surgery or whatever. Nothing real crazy, though. I mean, he's should be ready to go. And as far as I'm hearing, you know, it was going to limit him for, you know, 2 months or 3 months. And that would mean that he's not going to start, obviously, to begin the season. But he should only miss like the first month of the year, as far as I'm aware. So
it's not too bad at all.
Yeah. So we'll find out. You know, it was the same foot that bothered him during his college season last year and caused him to miss some games. So if this is a nagging type of thing, it could flare up more often. I'm just hoping and praying that this surgery's just solved it. We'll find out.
I like successful surgeries.
Yes, please. Please. That's our top 10. Now it's time for some mailbag questions. So let's do it.
Look away from the screen and pick a number between 1 and 12.
11.
Our first question is from @BoomerGilt. They'd like to know, we saw several minor league pitchers for the Guardians in spring training games, but not Bybee or Williams. Ellipsis. Why not?
They were pitching. It's just they were pitching a lot in the minor league games. I mean, they don't need to be added to the 40-man roster for like 2 more years. So maybe Cleveland is just like, hey, you know what? We're not going to let the other teams see what these guys can do yet, because they could be debuting this season against you.
I also wonder to what extent they wanted those innings to be had by other pitchers further up the development train. In other organizations, maybe they would have gotten the invite, but it's crowded, kids.
So at least that's my rationalization, because last year, Daniel Espino did get to play against some major league rosters, but almost every time he did, it was like the B team, the game that was never televised. So they kind of did the same thing. But like, I remember hearing that he faced you know, three pro hitters that were going to start opening day for the Cincinnati Reds, and he struck them out in like nine pitches. So, and every one of them swinging. So, like, that was where a lot of that hype train was starting up with Espino too. So maybe they didn't want to get things too hyped up, or maybe they didn't want to expose them to major league batters right away and maybe lose their confidence.
Yeah. As excited as we are about the pitching, the ability of the organization to develop pitching, we don't quite know all the secrets. All right. Are you ready for our next question?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. I have rolled a 12-sided die, and we have five. Question number five from at MTOFNERN on Twitter. Which affiliate will have the most intriguing starting rotation to begin the year?
Well, obviously, we don't know exactly what every rotation is yet because they haven't set everything perfectly. But at least from my best guess, well, look, let's see. Columbus is going to have Logan Allen, Peyton Battenfield, Tanner Bibee, Connor Pilkington. So that's four. And then maybe Joey Cantillo or Adam Scott or Tuki Toussaint, unless Tuki is specifically going to be a bullpen. So that's pretty interesting. Maybe Luis Oviedo. And then you go over to Akron. It's going to be Gavin Williams, Tanner Burns, Ross Carver, Ethan Hankins, Doug Nikhazy. That's a pretty impressive starting rotation. And starting at Akron and lower, I believe they'll have a six-man rotation compared to where Columbus, it's a five-man rotation that's lined up with Cleveland's rotation. So they can. So it's a little different how there's more pitchers at the lower levels. And then Lake County, you would think it's going to be Will Dion. You've got Jack Leftwich from last season. Plus you've got like Tommy Mace, who was a second round or first round like pick last year. Then you've got guys that they drafted last year, like that you would think are going to start at high A, like Campbell, Parker Messick.
I think high A is my pick for the most exciting at the start of the year.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting.
Now that I've heard the names again, Dion, Leftwich, and Mace especially, like having those three guys, they might all be viable major league starters. Like that ceiling's in play for them, and they're all at high A.
Yeah, and then Aaron Davenport as well, who spent, I believe, pretty much the last season at high A as well. Lake County's going to be really, really interesting. And then Lynchburg.
Kermit Flail good.
And possibly Ryan Webb, who finished last season at Lynchburg. You would think maybe they would be promoting him, but it just depends. And then with Lynchburg, you've got, let's see, maybe, you know, Trenton Denholm repeating a little bit. Alonzo Richardson, maybe Ryan Webb repeating. I'm not sure. And then you look at who they drafted this past year. That could be an opportunity for some of those younger arms, like the high school guys they drafted, like Jacob Zibin, unless that they're going to wait and have him start in Arizona to start the season. Yeah, Lynchburg's the biggest question mark at the moment. Like, we just don't know who's going to start there. Like, I've got a pretty good idea for the first three, but Lynchburg's completely up in the air at this moment. So, but yeah, I'm with you. If everybody was healthy, I would have said Akron because I think if everybody's healthy, maybe Tanner Bibee starts at AA and Daniel Espino's at AA. So you've got Bibee, Espino, and Gavin Williams.
Yeah.
But it's just Gavin Williams right now. So it's not quite as exciting in terms of like crazy talent at AA.
Well, we had a pretty good review there of what we've got going on around the system. It is time for another question, and we're going with eight. Question eight is from at Stan Finger. Project the 2025 starting rotation.
Ooh.
It's not even a question. It's a command. It's very assertive, Stan.
So that's 2 years from now. All right. I hate to tell you, Bieber's gone.
I can feel it in my bones. Don't worry.
Yep.
I've been around long enough.
Playstack's gone. And Savali's gone. It'll be McKenzie, Quantrill, Williams, Bibee, Joey Cantillo, with Espino being our eighth inning guy.
Okay, I like that. I like those picks.
So in case people are wondering, oh my God, what happened to Espino?
So 2025? Goodness me. I agree on the players who will likely not be on the roster any longer. Man, starting rotation. I think McKenzie, yes. I foresee him being around and pitching well. From there, things get a little... I don't know if we'll still have Quantrill on the roster or not. And that's that's not me suggesting that he won't be good enough to play or something crazy like that. I feel like the team has a history of continuing to kind of churn through those low arbitration years for starting pitchers because they are the cheapest. And boy, has the organization done a great job of picking guys. So I think Xavier Curry could be in there. Okay. Connor Pilkington will be, I think. From there, it gets hard, but I'll take Will Dion and Tanner Bibee. Sorry, Gavin. I don't know. Has Gavin Williams had any... no, I mean, has he had a trip to Disney World lately? I wasn't going to ask that question. Good Lord. We'll just go on to the, to the next question. Whoop. Hey, we got 8 again. That's ridiculous. Question 11. I'm just going to pick a random number. It's 3. Michael Mahoney wants to know, Tanner Bibee is starting the season at AAA. Are we ready for him to say Bibee to the minor leagues?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. We're in agreement.
I know. Yeah, I know that there's a few guys he needs to leapfrog to make it to the majors. In Gaddis, who has looked amazing this season in spring. He's throwing harder. He's got confidence. I think he led the team in strikeouts in spring training. And Curry and Pilkington and Logan Allen. He has to pass all those guys. But something's telling me he's going to. He's just too good. He's too good. I think he's going to tear AAA the hell up. I'm calling it right now.
I like that call. He might be first guy up.
We'll
certainly
find out.
He'll be in the conversation, I think.
I mean, Logan Allen needs to be added to the 40-man at the end of this season. And
okay.
Based on what happened last year, Cleveland just kept calling up the guys that they were going to be adding
right
at the end of the year. So I wouldn't be surprised if Logan Allen is also pitching well that they go Logan Allen first. But I'm telling you, I don't think Bibee stays at AAA for a long time. It just depends on if there's a need.
Yeah.
If Zach Plesac's not pitching well, if there's another injury, whatever, like there's going to be an opportunity, I think.
Yeah. My thought is if they do need the quote unquote emergency starting pitcher and it's Bibee's day, there's no hesitation. Like they trust him to go out and give them some solid innings or at least not die on the mound.
Yeah. And he's not super young, even though this is just his second pro season, he's 24 years old. So he's ready. He's ready.
I think so too. We'll stick with the Bibee theme. Fran Mills Eyebrow, also known as La Mole, wants to know what happens first, Tanner Bibee MLB debut or the first tornado warning in the NEO?
Ooh. Probably tornado
warning. Here in Central
I've already had one. Yeah. I've already had one in Upper Sandusky area, which is just a little north of Central Ohio. So I'm saying tornado warning. I mean, they could be coming tomorrow. We could get a tornado warning before he even pitches in AAA. So I'm going to say tornado warning, but Bibee is debuting this year at major league level, barring any injuries.
I got to take tornado warning too. These have been weird storms.
That's
this
a
year,
great
guys.
Question.
It is. I can't believe we're both again. It's not
that's
that
just Ohio
like
for
Bibee.
You though. That's Ohio for you more than any, than it's a criticism of Ohio than it is anything about Tanner Bibee's abilities.
Yeah, it's predictable that Bibee will make a debut within a certain range. Weather's not predictable at all. That's chaos. So I'll say chaos. So another question, and I have a question about this question before the question is answered, I suppose. But Gage, EHC, everyone hates Cleveland, wants to know, when will you give Max Maroff his flowers?
I didn't know we owed him flowers.
I'm wondering if it was an E.E. Gammings poem.
I know, you know, obviously for the people that aren't familiar, Max Maroff is one of those guys that played in Cleveland for like a week. We got him from like the Pittsburgh Pirates in a trade. He was more of a defense first shortstop. I don't know if he ever even got his first hit with Cleveland. it was that year that Eric Stamets and Max Moroff started the year at shortstop, like right after we traded Francisco Lindor.
Oh my God, that happened. You're right.
Or no, or was it, I'm trying to remember, or maybe it was right before we called up Lindor. Like it was just, or Lindor was hurt, but whatever it was, those were our starting shortstops. And it was just, like, we were in, it was a disaster.
They were both, like being stuck with Lito Ross and Maurice Hall. Yeah.
But yeah, thankfully, you know, we got that situation sorted out. But yeah, I'm not sure why we owe him flowers, but I mean, I liked him when he was at AAA. He had a couple good moments in the minors, but I'm trying to remember how we got him.
If we do truly owe him flowers, crocuses are coming up. I got some.
Turns out they're
delicious, by the way.
Eric Gonzalez trade along with Jordan Luplow.
Got some cone flowers.
So there you go. That's how we got Moroff. Is there some kind of meme or anything with Max Moroff and flowers? I don't know. I don't see anything.
Question number 7 comes from Nick Jubes. Who will be the first to hit the majors, Bybee or Williams?
I think we've answered that one. It's almost certainly going to be Bybee with him starting the year at AAA, which is wild as a fifth round pick. And with how good Williams was as a first round pick last year, for somebody to outpace him is insane. I think 99% of the time, if you've got a first round pick that pitches as well as Gavin Williams did last year, like he was one of the toughest pitchers to hit in all of minor league baseball. Somebody did better than him in Cleveland system that got drafted that same year. And somebody is starting the year higher than him. That's just unbelievable. That just shows how incredibly gifted Cleveland's pitching factory really is. But yeah, it's got to be Bybee, man.
Agreed. It just makes sense. So moving along, we've got another question here from M. Dallas 27. How has Matt been doing? We miss him on Twitter.
Now, is this you or Matt L?
A great question. Since I'm the co-host of the podcast, I'll assume it was myself.
Okay.
Things are fine in a new role at work. Excited for spring, baseball, gardening. I'm moving along.
Probably be a little bit more active now that the season's starting too.
Oh, goodness, yeah. I mean, I survived winter thanks to yoga. I have to move and do something. I'm from Florida, for heaven's sake. I don't understand how people do winter. In any case, number 2, what is the vibe on Ethan Hankins at this point? Feels like the potential is still there, but he's been somewhat of a forgotten guy at this point.
Yeah, he is. I mean, if you remember, you know, he used to be one of our top prospects in our minor league system. Unfortunately, following the 2019 season, he had Tommy John, they had the lost 2020 season, and then he had Tommy John surgery. So he lost 2020 due to COVID. He lost 2021 due to Tommy John. And then last year he returned and pitched one inning. So since 2019, when he was great, by the way, like he had a 1.4 ERA at Mahoning Valley, RIP Mahoning Valley, and then he got promoted to full season Lake County, which was swapped at the time with Lynchburg. Like now Lake County's higher than Lynchburg, but back then it was below Lynchburg. But he got promoted to full season ball in 2019, the year after he was drafted. Like he was already in full season ball after getting drafted as a high schooler. So he was rocket ship. But then COVID, Tommy John, and slow recovery. The good news is, from everything I've heard, he's pitching as hard as ever, upper 90s. I think they're going to give him a chance to start, which would be, I would think, at AA to start this year, even though he's never pitched at high A, but he's been gone so long. And last year, his one inning was in Arizona. So we'll find out. But I'm really, really interested to see if he can bounce back. Lenny Torres also was drafted that year, and he has really struggled to bounce back from his Tommy John surgery. Looks like they've kind of converted him to being a bullpen guy. we'll see what happens with Hankins, but he has the potential. I mean, who can forget his performance in that Team USA against that video? I mean, his fastball was just lightning. So if he comes back and he looks like that again, he could be our comeback player of the year in our minor league system. Like, because the ability is still there. He just hasn't been able to pitch for 3 years. So when that happens, you're going to fall off of every prospect list. But that's what redemption's all about. And he's still just 22 years old, which is just insane. He didn't pitch for 3 seasons, and he's 22 years old.
And I want to give a quick shout out to @Hitchcock2, no K in Hitchcock. Also asked for an update on Ethan Hankins, and I feel like we just fed two birds with one scone, as it were.
Yep. And I think I see that Hitchcock also asked about the bullpen. And again, I think they're going to give him a chance to start first. And if that works out, then he stays there. If not, bullpen for sure. Because he still has that nasty stuff that I think could play up in the bullpen. So we'll find out.
And Mr. Dallas is a longtime listener. So his last question, I will go ahead and answer. He says, I feel like we're long overdue for the yearly Brady Aiken check-in. I have an update on Brady Aiken, in fact.
Oh, let's hear it.
According to LinkedIn, he's in San Diego.
Okay.
That's it.
He was released from Cleveland system, if people were not aware. As far as I know, he is not affiliated with baseball anymore. According to his Twitter, he has become the biggest cheerleader of Sean Bouchard, who was his former, I believe, high school teammate or one of his traveling team teammates.
That's
he
awesome.
Was a high school player in California, and Bouchard has made it to the Colorado Rockies. He got a cup of coffee last year and hit a home run. So his Twitter is just retweeting a whole bunch of positive stories about Bouchard, and he has been active on his Twitch stream. You can go watch him play Call of Duty.
Cool. Done any good 360 no scopes?
I don't know. I haven't actually watched the stream, but it is linked on his Twitter, and I did click it a while back, and he had been relatively active streaming himself playing some Call of Duty.
Yeah, I thought about streaming, but then I thought it'd be a lot more fun for people to just have to find me.
I've streamed, like, I used to play Hearthstone semi-competitively, and I streamed that for a little bit, but I think I got tired of having zero watchers and I just gave up on it after like a week.
We've got a fun question here from @Cleology. How early can we schedule Chris Pratt to throw out the first pitch for game one of the World Series? I'm saying August 8th.
There we go. Yeah. I love the question, but it just makes me so nervous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever want to get ahead of myself. Like, I think this season has the potential to be special, but we've already seen, you know, Tristan McKenzie potentially going to miss the first 2 months. So you never want to get ahead of yourself, especially, you know, just with how fragile it really is when you think about it. Because last year we got very lucky with injuries. Like, the worst ones were, like, you know, Karinchak starting the season late, but our bullpen was incredible, even with him and without him. Or, you know, our worst pitching injuries were Savali and Plesac, and we were able to make up for that. So our top three guys were all healthy the whole season, and we're already not having that. So,
yeah, I still believe we'll see. I'm sticking with August 8th. You know what? I'll throw peanuts at him if we're right. How's that, Chris Pratt?
Sounds good. Come on, Chris.
Bonus points, never mind. Another question from Jaker. I'm going to say Brahney, Brahney, because that's how it's spelled. He says, we've heard plenty about the top arms and infielders at the higher levels. Who is the prospect at A-ball or lower most likely to make the biggest impact in the majors this season?
Well, I think Juan Brito is out because I think he's going to start the year at Double-A. So you got to start thinking of the guys that'll be potentially starting at Lynchburg or even Akron. I'm going to go crazy. I'll go one that's realistic and then one where I'm taking, like, a big risk.
I like a good flyer.
So Milan Tolentino, I really liked what I saw out of him last year.
Yes.
So
we are enthused about Milan Tolentino on this podcast, and yes, we're not ashamed about it.
And then for a guy that you might not know, I'm going to go international.
Ooh.
And say either Welbin Francisca, who was like our super top, you know, international signing just this season, who I don't even know is even going to, if he's going to debut this year or next year, or Churio, whose brother is like a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. And people are like, this guy could be just as good. So we'll find out.
I would be quite excited if he turned out to have talent of the same pedigree.
Yeah. I'd be ecstatic. Mm-hmm. I really would.
My answer is still just Jake Fox. I'm all in.
There we go.
Short stacked, but all in. Finally, we come to Jamie Renner, 17. Hell yes, y'all can decide which ones to use. Number one, with the recent extensions, who do you believe is next? Parentheses, Kwan is off limits, end parentheses.
Why is Kwan off limits?
He set the rules. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we extended Jimenez. We extended Stefan. I'm saying let's try to get McKenzie.
Ooh.
That would make the most sense out of the players that are young, super talented, in that nice little window where, yes, they're playing well, but
just had
now, especially scare. Maybe now with an injury scare, that'll make him want to sign. Because like basically with Jimenez, this was the last time they were going to be able to get him for that deal. Because if you remember, they offered Francisco Lindor a $100 million deal, and he turned it down and bet on himself, and he got $300 million. If Jimenez had turned that deal down and gone and had the exact same season this year that he had last year, he was going to be a $300 million guy too.
I must note, this podcast is not meant to provide fiduciary information or advice.
But yeah, I think McKenzie would make the most sense.
I could very easily see that happening this season. Yes, I agree.
If you look, you know, we've got Ramirez now. We've got Jimenez. We've got Miles Straw extended. We've got Clase extended. We've got Stefan extended. We don't have any of our pitchers extended in terms of our starting rotation. And I think out of all of those, McKenzie makes the most sense. And maybe Quantrill.
I was just thinking Quantrill could be a candidate.
Because I think Bieber's just not going to happen. It's going to cost too much. Like, it's going to be at least $25 million a year, if not more. And that's with Cleveland being cheap. Like, he's probably going to get $30 million or more elsewhere.
I'd love to see us finally extend the guy who can command that kind of money on the market.
I mean,
but I'm a realist.
If you look back, you know, we extended Kluber, we extended Carrasco, but we caught them and got really team-friendly deals. With Carrasco, who had a heart issue, and he was just like, hey, you know, let's do team friendly. I want to stick around and to be able to.
Yeah. There were kind of factors in both of those that Bieber was a little bit, or Bieber, Kluber, excuse me, was a little bit older.
Yeah, as a prospect, but when he broke through.
Carrasco had a little bit of a misstep, I guess you could say, his first time up or so. Then
was more that Carrasco had health issues that he, but even that wasn't like super cheap. I mean, we were still by the end of it paying like 13, 14 million a year. And then that's why they traded him because they were cheap. But yeah, we currently, every single one of our guys in the starting rotation is still on their, you know, initial contract, which is a typical 6-year deal, where the first 3 years are rookie deal and the next 3 years are arbitration.
Number two, let's just hypothetically say the season is not going to plan, ellipsis. Who is the first one to get shipped off?
Rosario and Bieber, I would think.
That's quick.
Just makes sense. Maybe Bell.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Bell is currently on a very team-friendly, where we expect him to decline the player option next year if he plays well. Or if he doesn't play well or plays just league average, maybe he sticks around and plays for both seasons of his deal. And then, you know, Rosario's on his prove it year of his contract. So he's only, I mean, either we extend him or he's gone next year anyway. So that makes him tradable. And then I think isn't Bieber the same way, or is he have one more year yet? I think Bieber still has one more year in his contract. So I'm maybe he's tradable in the offseason. So I would say Rosario first, even if it upsets Jose. Just because we've got so many shortstop options and everybody else is locked up.
We decline the third question.
Why?
I don't know. I just wanted to mess with him because he said we could decide.
Oh. I want to hear the third question.
Okay. Number three, Miles Naylor. Is he an option?
Okay.
Legally, no.
I think he's draft eligible this year, and he would be the third Naylor brother. From what I've heard, he's the best of them all. They're already comparing him to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., so why not? Let's draft him. I want him.
That's a heck of a comp to draw. I hadn't heard that one, actually. I know he's committed to Texas Tech, but that doesn't mean that he will actually go there.
There is no commitment that somebody would choose over getting drafted in the first round.
So he is a legitimate prospect.
His other two brothers both were drafted in the first round. So he would have to get drafted higher. I think he might get drafted before it even gets to Cleveland's first pick, is my fear.
These are some numbers. Exit velo was clocked, evidently. It's perfect game. Who knows? I'd say plus or minus 2 miles an hour, probably. But 96 miles an hour coming off the bat. Infield arm, 89 miles an hour. Yes. And it's a very high perfect game grade of 9.5. So, yes. But to your point, Brian, he might end up going way sooner in the draft than it would take for Cleveland to pick him.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So that brings us to the end of the podcast for this week. Would it be acceptable for me to read an E.E. Gamming's poem from the past? Because it really has just become an Esteban Yon themed account now.
Let's hear it.
What bat is it that expresses how months flood by? Withdrawn, your bartender warbled but one word. Small intestine. Bananas.